The South isn't known for its runway, but there's an organization here in Atlanta that's trying to change that. As fashion consultants, the founders of Factory Girls do anything and everything to help designers make their products. They even have a small factory with high-end machinery. Producer Gabby Watts spoke with the three founders about how they're trying to change fashion in the South.
My name is Regina Weir.
I'm Rosa Thurner.
My name is Felicia Ruiz. There are a lot of stylish people and really creative people that want to make it in the South, but they actually leave to New York or LA because those resources to make their business are readily accessible. So our mission is really to bring them the resources that they need here.
We're connecting the dots, and I think that's what is important to keep in mind when you're working in the Southeast is that, yeah, we live in a more globalized world where everything is pretty much accessible, except for when you're a designer. Like, fashion is something that's very specific and that you need human labor. You need, like, people who know how to do these specific things. It is important for us to kind of bring some of these resources together because they are spread out in the Southeast, whereas, like, in New York, everything is available in, like, a very small geographic area. Same with LA.
The major thing that we've tried to do is to bring quality resources. There have been resources that we have had people come to us with horror stories, like, I went to this pattern maker and they completely, you know, took my money and I have a substandard quality is poor and I don't have what I wanted when I started. So for us to sort of screen and find reputable partners that we can refer out to, because at our side of the factory, we don't make everything.
And so resources basically means, it seems, skilled labor, skilled people who know what they're doing to make high-end quality products.
That also includes, I mean, fabric is huge for us. We're in the South, so textiles was a major part of the industry years ago, and we're seeing a return now, but it's kind of like a mystery, and me and Rose are finding these. I mean, we talked to Carolina Textile District, and they said they had 160 partners that they work with throughout the Southeast. We had no idea that all of these people were here in the South, and that's, you know, anyone that makes swimwear to people that actually make the yarns to make fabric are here in the South.
For smaller designers, I guess, Rosa, we were talking about how designers are being more creative in terms of how they sell. There's things like trunk shows. So what are some of those more innovative ways that are coming up now of how to actually do the business of selling what you create?
I think there's a lot of pop-up shops that are happening. I mean, it's sort of been going on, but I think that's a great way for emerging designers to kind of get together and do a pop-up shop, like something that's not a long-term commitment. And then also a lot of people are selling online, which is a huge resource. I mean, these days, anybody can set up shop. It's just a matter of marketing, getting yourself out there.
I think that designers have the ability to be creative in their sales model, which wasn't always the case. There was a formula and you had to follow a calendar. And these days, people are making their own rules in business in general. All the startup community and the innovation that's going on with the entrepreneurial community, I think, has opened it up in every type of business. So for retail, you know, you have to consider who your customer is. And that's one of the things when we meet someone, we say, okay, how do you want to sell your product? Because that determines everything, your calendar of when you're doing your initial launch and product development. And if you're making your own way and you've got your own following and you've sort of marketed it, you can do whatever you want.
It used to be everybody had to follow the fashion calendar. I think these days with social media, and just the way things have opened up with the internet, everything has changed so that people can kind of do what they want. They can have seasonless pieces and they can sell them all year round. You don't have to come out with a new collection. You can come out with pieces throughout the year. Everybody's just kind of doing their own thing, I feel like. If you're a smaller, younger designer, you have that freedom.
And stores are a little bit different. I mean, everything moves faster now. So it used to be where you would go and buy for 6 months. With the weather in different places, with different events that happen in cities, stores are sometimes left with the need to buy things immediately. So there's now immediate shows. I mean, there's shows every month of the year. I feel like now there's like a different show depending on whether you're looking at men's, women's accessories.
You are sort of coming out of this idea called slow fashion. So could you talk a little bit about what that is?
Basically, the concept comes from the slow food movement, really against the fast food culture and calling it slow food. So it's the same with fast fashion and slow fashion. So fast fashion is easily reproducible, but it has a lot of major detriments to our society, environment. In general, it's just terrible for us. Slow fashion is basically a concept that is rooted in locally made goods that are made by people within your communities to help the economy, that you know that people are getting fair wages, and these are quality products that you might keep for a really long time as opposed to something you might wear once and then throw away, or not even wear at all and throw away. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people do that.
I mean, if you see something that costs $5, you think a lot less about purchasing it. So the business model of fast fashion has turned clothing into something disposable, which is an advertiser's dream, but an environmentalist nightmare and a human rights nightmare. So we care about the future, and we care also about people who make things. And fast fashion was started really on ripping off, you know, high-end lines. So the creativity isn't there, the integrity isn't there, and there's just so many bad things that come from cheap clothes. So for us, it's really important, and we feel like slow fashion also creates jobs. It stimulates your local economy, and it just makes a transparent business model to where you can support who's making it all the way down the road and know that it's made well.
Yeah, go back to the days where people had 5 items of clothing instead of 2,000 or something.
Or you could pass something down, you know? I mean, I think there's something to be said about vintage clothing, and I don't know in 2030 what's going to be left or how these garments are going to look, but I know, you know, things from the 50s and 60s can still hold up that was made with quality fabric. A lot less synthetics and just a lot more care into how they were made. And the tailoring and the quality was important because it had to last. You couldn't afford to buy new clothes all the time.
But it does seem like with fashion, there's so much of an uptick in price of when you're buying something that was locally made versus, you know, if you went to your farmer's market and got like a, you know, a $2 pepper versus, you know, a $1 pepper or something, you know.
Yeah.
So that just seems that there's such an additional hurdle in terms of cost. So what are kind of some methods to, you know, convincing the consumer to be more conscious, to be like, well, you know, what's the investment in this product?
I can tell you that if you learn to sew, you will understand that nothing should cost $5, especially anything that has a zipper, the amount of time it takes. These things aren't, robots are not making our clothes.
I mean, you have to think, if something costs $5, how much of that is somebody getting paid to make this garment?
I mean, even $20. Let's just not say something ridiculous like $5. Like, even a $20 top is a fast fashion piece. It's something that you can change, and it's not overwhelming to make the choices. You know, it's just to say, okay, you have the same clothing budget. You just say, I'm going to get 5 quality pieces instead of 20 for the season and build a wardrobe. And a lot of the synthetic fabrics and the dyes and the things that they're using are bad for us to put on our bodies. I mean, our skin is our biggest organ, so a lot of this stuff is just not good for us in general.
I think picking classic pieces that will last over a long period of time is key too. I'm sure people want, you know, the trends change so fast, and you can go to H&M and see a new outfit every week. So making that change to slow fashion pieces is really picking key items that you're going to wear that are kind of seasonless. That's why we all have a great appreciation for vintage that, I mean, we still wear.
It's like, have a good eye for what you want to wear for the next 50 years.
Well, there are certain pieces that you know, like, that you should have in your closet. Like, everybody
like
needs, like, a really good little black dress. Like, mm-hmm. things like that, that, you know, you need
to invest in those pieces.
Yeah, like a knock-around boot.
I think a lot of it is also an age thing. For us, we're all at an age where we know sort of what our style is. I can tell you, you know, in college or in high school, I think my style changed every 6 months, you know? And it was also because I was finding out who I was. But I also think there's a tremendous opportunity to share this education about slow fashion with the younger consumer, because they are the consumers of fast fashion. I think by the largest percentage. So if we could create an awareness in the youth culture, it will change future generations. Try to support people who make things in your own community and, you know, figure out who's making things here and what stores are carrying those things, and that's where you can try to put your dollars behind them so that they continue to be able to stay open and support these designers. Also, you can look out for, designers are always doing pop-ups or trunk shows, and, you know, try to hit those events. And there's a huge community of, you know, crafted goods as well, with jewelry and accessories, and there's a lot of makers in Atlanta, and there's probably, you know, every month a different event going on for a pop-up or, you know, something to do with fashion or accessories.
If somebody lives in Atlanta and they would like to go right now after they hear this interview and purchase some core items for fall, for September, what are some core pieces that you would suggest for somebody, we'll say a female?
But I think layering pieces, especially in the South, is really important, because our fall and winter is, you know, it's really cold in the morning and then it gets warm in the afternoon.
And I know we all probably buy a lot of seasonless pieces, just because you can just add a jacket or take something away and still be comfortable. And then you've got good old air conditioning, which is always cranked up. So even in the summer, I'm known to have a jacket. We wear a lot of denim, I think, in the South. You can make it office appropriate. I don't know, we don't have a traditional office situation, so we sometimes dress up for certain meetings, and other times we're at the factory in a sweaty, sort of hot place.
Well, thank you all for coming in and talking about fashion.
Thank you
for having us.